Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Did you ever go to tweet something and you can't, like, you're like, why? Because I'm trying to find somebody to tag that I want to put out there that I can't find on there. Like, did they, like, stop allowing me to tag them?
Oh, I've had issues like that all the time when I tag people for the GR account.
I'm trying to find my buddy, John Harris, to tag him and to say, like, he's coming on the radio today with me. And I can't, like, find his tag. It's not, like, you know, it's not showing up when you first go do the tag, right? I think it's, there he goes, John Harris, it's J. Harris Football, there it is, J. Harris. But usually I just type in Harris and it comes up because I only probably follow a couple people, like Harrison Phillips maybe, right? Might be a name there. All right, so this is what I was doing. And I literally spent the last like 30 seconds before the mic came on going, oh, I'm trying to tweet out who's going to be on the Loaded Extra Point Show today. John Harris is going to join me. He is the Texan sideline reporter. Also, really big into the NFL draft. We'll get his thoughts on post, you know, Bills draft, some of the guys they got. But I want to also talk about the Texans. I know that CJ Stroud hasn't been throwing during OTAs. He's with shoulder soreness. Plus, they've moved on from Stephon Diggs, and now everything's happening with him in New England. You know, what was the book on him while he was there in Houston? Tank Dell situation, AFC overall. We'll talk with John Harris coming up at 11 a.m. But before that, just about 5 minutes from now, our buddy Thad Brown from Rochester is going to join me. WROC-TV, also Buffalo Kickoff Live here in Buffalo and around the state. I join him and Josh Reed, Matt Perino, Carl Jones, Tim Graham. We'll be getting after it during training camp with some Buffalo Kickoff Live shows. So Thad Brown's going to join me today to talk about the Bills and OTAs yesterday. Thad was there. And I thought that yesterday was a very interesting day because of kind of who wasn't there and how it went, right? Now, we do not get an official attendance report from OTAs. What we get is us watching and writing down who's there and who's not there. And from there, sometimes we see guys, they're there, they're not there, or I would say like they're there but not participating. You can't tell exactly how much they're doing. We don't get a full or a limited, things like that. So Taron Johnson, for example, red jersey on. Usually that means there might be a limited, but seemed like he did everything that they were doing. But I can't tell if he actually was in every single rep that he normally would be. Right? I don't have the script in front of me for a practice. The coach doesn't give it to me. But it looked to me like he was taking a part in normal reps. That said, a guy like Baylen Spector, surprise, surprise, on the sidelines, not participating. And I say it that way, not to be mean, but here we go again. A guy that has had too many injuries over the first 3 years of his career, and he wasn't on the field. He was on the sidelines watching his team. So we know that he didn't participate. I had tweeted out yesterday that Cam Lewis wasn't present. I was told afterward, my buddy Andy Young, a friend of the program, Spectrum News One, texted me and said he saw Cam Lewis later in the field house. So could be getting treatment on something, could have been a day where he couldn't make it to practice for a certain reason, personally, whatever. But he was there. So the only two people, so Spencer Brown was there, he didn't participate. We know that. DeMar was there. DeMar Hamlin was there, he didn't participate. The only two people who didn't were James Cook, contract situation, we know that, and assuming that's pretty much why, and Josh Allen, who got married last weekend in California. No surprise there. So one of the things that happened yesterday is watching the offense run without Josh Allen, obviously it's going to be a noticeable difference, and I tweeted out a couple of observations, and one of them was, hey, the offense obviously looks different, but one of those ways it looks different is whether it's Trubisky, Mike White, Shane Buechele, they don't process quick as Josh and get rid of the ball as quick. I would say they don't process as quick, but they certainly didn't get rid of the ball as quick. And that's probably why, processing. But either way, you could tell there was the pass rush got there a little bit too much. It seemed like they should have maybe pulled the trigger before they did on a couple of throws. And some of the response was interesting because, yes, there's a segment of fans who say, look, without Josh Allen, they're winning 4 or 5 games. Now, I don't know if I believe that necessarily, but certainly there's going to be a drop-off like there would be with any elite quarterback. Take Lamar Jackson off the Ravens. Take Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs. Take Joe Burrow off the Bengals. This is no different here. There's going to be a noticeable drop-off. The hope is, if Josh were to ever actually miss time, that it's very little time. A couple of games, you get by, and what do you have behind him? The other thing that happened was, became a bit of a debate on the Bills' backup quarterbacks. And I had a couple of people say, I can't believe they've never gone out and got a better backup than Mitch Trubisky. Well, I know this is going to sound, when I say it out loud, it's going to sound bad, or it's going to sound at least wrong, but it's not, which is, Mitch Trubisky is actually one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL. And I say that because he's actually played in the league, had a little bit of success, has seen pretty much everything in the league. And if you had to go through 2, 3, 4 games without Josh Allen, you'd rather have him than, I would say, pretty much most backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Go look at rosters around the league, folks. The other part of that is, if you did want to upgrade, you're not getting some guy who's normally going to be a starter somewhere, because that guy's probably got a starting job. So it really became interesting yesterday, kind of reading some of the comments and people's thoughts about that. And I'm not here to tell you even, I think Matt Bove and I from WKBW, we do our It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. We did one last night. We talked about this particular situation, and Matt said to me, well, do you think it's a lock that Trubisky's even on the team? And I said, no, I actually don't. I could see Mike White beating him out. And I would even tell you the Bills really like Shane Buechele, right? Like, they like him. So I could see that as well. But that said, I could see that happening. I don't think it's going to happen, because the Bills, if something were to happen to Josh, who, by the way, knock on wood, has the longest starting streak of any quarterback in the NFL right now. He plays through some stuff. And he takes pride in being out there and being available. Something were to happen for 3, 4 games, I had someone tweet me that they think they'd be more comfortable with, or the Bills would be better off with, like a mid-round rookie over Mitch Trubisky. I don't agree with that. I think you're risking a lot there. at least you have a guy who's been in the league. And no, he's not Josh Allen. We know that. But I still say, go take a look at the other 31 teams. Maybe you'll find a few backups. You say, that guy's better than Mitch Trubisky. That's fine. There's not many teams that have a backup that would be really as competent to come in and win some games for a team like the Buffalo Bills, who are trying to win a Super Bowl, if they're in that situation. And that's kind of what happened yesterday, which was interesting, because that's not what you go into OTAs thinking about, the backup quarterback, right? But without Josh Allen, A, you see it on the field, and then you get into that discussion, which is interesting. Let's hope we never have to cross that bridge. 803-0550 is the telephone number. James Cook, next week, we'll see if he's at mandatory minicamp. That's when it begins for the Bills, Tuesday, then Wednesday and Thursday. It is mandatory then. It is not now. It is voluntary. He was not out there yesterday either. So obviously we know he's got the contract situation. We'll see where that goes. Our buddy Thad Brown is going to join me right now on the West Her Hotline. Thad was out at Bills OTAs yesterday, and he joins us from WROC-TV in Rochester. Good morning, Thad. Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Hey, Sal. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. What did you notice about no Josh Allen yesterday? What I noticed was, on the field, guys not getting rid of the ball as quick. There's such obviously a noticeable difference, but it has sparked a discussion amongst Bills fans about the backup quarterback position.
It's a great thought, and I had it going into the draft because, you know, the Bills have kind of been on this conveyor of, we're going to bring in a guy maybe for 1 year, maybe two if they want to stay. Most likely it's a guy that's going to be able – his best attribute is that Josh Allen likes having him in the quarterback room, which is not nothing. But to your point, you know, if Josh Allen were to miss three or four games – being a load of laughs in the quarterback room doesn't really help you on the field as much. Doesn't mean Mitch Trubisky can't play. He obviously has, you know, a level he can reach. But like you said, it's not easy to find a backup quarterback. There are 10 or 15 teams that can't even find a starting quarterback. So
that's
why
right.
Are people expecting the Bills to come up with a guy who's the 45th best quarterback in the league and expect them to be very good? But I have thought about the idea of Buffalo trying to invest a fourth or fifth round pick in a quarterback with the idea that, yeah, for this year, if you make that guy your backup quarterback, he's almost certainly going to be worse than what Mitch Trubisky would give you. But, you know, if you hit on that guy, finger quotes big time with hit, you might end up with a better backup quarterback than what you would get with Mitch Trubisky, and B, if that guy is a better quarterback, well, then maybe you can flip him for a higher draft pick down the road, and now you've had some return on your investment. But do the Bills have the kind of latitude to mess around with those kind of long-term investments when you're trying to win a Super Bowl every year and your goal is, if Josh Allen gets hurt for X number of games that are not going to be generally detrimental to my season, i.e. six or more, can I find a guy that can get me through this year? And the answer to that is almost never going to be a fourth-round rookie. It's going to be Mitch Trubisky, even if he might be a middle-of-the-road backup quarterback. So, although, yeah, you know, there's certainly a potential high-end reward for, you know, spending one of those draft picks on a quarterback, by the time you realize that reward, the window might be so small it's not worth it, because now you've got, you know, year one where a guy can't help you and year three or four where maybe you've traded him away for a pick to make the whole idea worth it. So, you know, Mitch Trubisky at the end of the day, I think, will be the type of backup quarterback the Bills always have, at least in this prime Josh Allen window.
Thad Brown here on the West Her Hotline. Bills back at OTAs tomorrow. No media available. That'll be the last OTA before mandatory minicamp next week. Then our attention shifts to James Cook and whether or not he's there. How much are you kind of paying attention to that, and what does it matter if he is or isn't to the overall picture for you going into training camp?
I don't think it matters a ton for the overall picture. I mean, look, it's a thing. Every time he misses a practice, it's a thing. You know, because he's obviously making a statement. He was the only guy that missed last week. He was one of, like, one or two guys who missed yesterday. So, you know, there's obviously a message being sent and I think received about the contract situation. I think more likely than not he's there next week, because you start to get fined next week. And certainly for training camp, you know, when the fines start to pile up. Like, I could see James Cook skipping next week because you might get fined for three or maybe only two missed practices. But when we get to training camp and the fines just pile up, compounding day after day after day, running back, you know, you're not really in a position to hold out and mess around with that. Like, a guy like Hassan Reddick last year with the Jets, he can hold out forever. He's an edge rusher. If he gets paid, he's getting paid something that you could buy an island with. James Cook is a running back. Even if he gets, like, slightly above market value, he's getting half or a third of what other positions will make. So, you know, he does not have the wherewithal coming off a second-round rookie contract, and B, the likely payoff to where he's going to skip training camp practices. All that said, look, the guy clearly is not satisfied with his contract. So until that gets changed, this will continue to be a thing. Will he be at practice? Will he be at games? I think probably. But is he 100% on board and committed until he gets that contract? I think there's a question that can be raised about it.
And obviously, going into next week, you could also see a hold in, right? I mean, he could show up and say, I'm just not practicing. We've seen that before as well, Thad.
That is the new version of the, you know, like right now he's the I'm unhappy with a contract playbook. You know, there are social media, passive-aggressive social media posts, not going to voluntary off-season conditioning, not going to voluntary OTAs. And the next step of that lately, at least one of the next steps, has been I'm here so I'm just here so I don't get fined and then I don't do anything. So, you know, again, until this gets solved to his satisfaction, it's a thing, even if I don't think it's a thing that probably changes a ton of how the Bills, you know, regular season goes.
What did you take away from anything Bobby Babich said, Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator, yesterday?
You know, with the defense, it wasn't so much what Bobby Babich said. I was really impressed with the way that Trey White and Dane Jackson, to a lesser extent, handled the discussion about Maxwell Harrison. You know, you heard, I don't know if people heard, but Joe Flacco recently was asked about being a mentor to Shedeur Sanders and Gabriel, the two rookie quarterbacks the Browns have. And Flacco, you know, kind of weirdly fenced it a little bit where, you know, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I'll lead by example, but I'm not really here to, you know, to be a mentor. Whereas Trey White and Dane Jackson said flat out, I don't have an ego. You know, I'm going to do what I can to help, you know, guys on this team. Trey White said, I know what it's like to be a first-round pick. I know what Maxwell Harrison is dealing with, how hard it is, the difficulties. And this is not a one-time thing. You know, over the years, talking with Levi Wallace or, you know, Christian Benford, I mean, it seems like every other year we have a quarterback position battle. It's Wallace, you know, versus Dane Jackson. It's Benford versus Kyir Elam. But universally, all these guys have talked about the fact that they're here to help each other. Whoever the veteran is, he says every single time we ask about it, I want to help this guy because it makes us better. And you saw it again yesterday with Trey White and Dane Jackson. And I think where I land on with that is when you think about Maxwell Harrison as a first-round pick, the last first-round cornerback the Bills took, Kyir Elam, did not work out. Well, this guy is coming into a fantastic environment. You've got two veterans who know everything about the Bills' defense, know the facility, and are happy to help, are willing, are excited to help this young guy. And then I think in addition, you know, John Butler is the defensive backs coach. He's an excellent NFL coach. There's a reason why Bills' defensive backs were very good when he was here. It's not just all Sean McDermott. He had a part of it. But we've all seen it with John Butler. The guy has an aggressive, in-your-face personality. And I think that was part of the reason why Kyir Elam had issues in Buffalo. Not all the reason, but some of the reason. With that guy not here, with the kind of veterans you have in that room who are open and almost dying to help a young guy, even though they still want to compete, you got to figure that Maxwell Harrison can't have a better situation for him to potentially realize all that first-round talent. Who knows if it'll happen, but that's what I thought walking away yesterday. That, wow, if I'm Maxwell Harrison, I feel great about the next 2 years of my life.
What about Joe Brady, offensive coordinator? Anything that he said that stood out to you?
Yeah, it's kind of a small thing, but there was a question about Keon Coleman and his usage and whether that he'd go back inside. And Joe Brady said at one point, well, you know, I don't believe in inside and outside receivers. And I kind of, you know, roll my eyes at that a little bit because, you know, the Bills have a ton of guys who are inside receivers. You know, you think about the best receivers on this team, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, borderline, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, everybody hopes. All those guys are probably better receivers on the inside. So for Joe Brady to say, I don't believe in inside and outside, that's not a philosophical thing. He really doesn't have a choice because most of the guys he's going to use are inside receivers. Now, you know, Josh Palmer, I think, can be a solid outside receiver, but he also probably is just an average NFL receiver. You know, probably, I don't want to say just a guy. He's competent, he's professional, but he's probably not above average. You know, maybe Elijah Moore is that guy, but, you know, when you consider the receiving talent on this team, you want to throw, you know, James Cook and Ray Davis and the running backs into this, if you're putting Elijah Moore and Josh Palmer out on the field at the same time, then somebody who's probably better than one of those two guys is on the bench. So this is an offense that really doesn't have the ability to say, well, we're going to have inside and outside guys because they don't have them. And it's not even all their fault either. When guys come out of college these days, most of them don't see press coverage. Because of the way college offenses work, because it's so spread out, defenses won't play press because you put a kid out there on an island who doesn't know how to press. If he gets beat, it's a touchdown. So defenses in general in college will just back off and not play press. So when receivers come to the NFL, they haven't seen that kind of defense. They haven't seen that kind of opposition to be comfortable enough to go out in the X or the Z and play outside and face that. So I think what the Bills, when Joe Brady says, I don't believe in inside and outside receivers, he doesn't have a choice. He's not the only one. And I think it's going to just continue to go in that direction because the large majority of receivers coming out of college are guys that are not familiar, not experienced, and maybe cannot even handle outside, you know, press situations. So, you know, to sit here and say, well, we don't believe in inside and outside, it's because you don't really have a choice, in my opinion. You have to find a way to make it work with a bunch of receivers that all would probably be happy in the slot.
Thad Brown here, WROC-TV, Rochester. You can catch him also on BKL, Buffalo Kickoff Live. We're going to be ramping up some shows once we get to training camp out in Rochester. Speaking of Rochester, I noticed you retweeted Thomas Bryant back in the NBA Finals. How cool is that to see a local kid from Rochester back in the NBA Finals with the Indiana Pacers?
It's really cool. You know, it's always fun. You know, Rochester lately, and I think Buffalo too, I don't know how equitable it is, but we seem to have a bunch of guys who are, you know, doing things in the pro ranks. Ernie Clement plays for the Blue Jays. He's had a big week last week. Isaiah Stewart is in the NBA as well, plays for the Pistons. Notorious for, you know, random ejections and punches and stuff like that. But to have a guy, you know, go back to the NBA Finals, and the cool story with Thomas Bryant is that, you know, he went to the Finals with the Nuggets, won a ring there. But that year he didn't, like, even play in the playoffs. He played one game. He's a regular member of the Pacers rotation, and a guy that Pascal Siakam, as he's receiving the MVP trophy for the Eastern Conference, which I know was controversial, most people thought it should have been Halliburton, I probably agree, but Siakam got a question about Thomas Bryant and shouted out the fact that, look, you know, Bryant in games 3 and 4 against the Knicks didn't play, came back in for games 5 and 6 and was great in game 6. You know, 3 rebounds, 11 points, 3 threes off the bench. And to have a guy from our town in the midst of the NBA, the heart of the NBA playoffs, the high leverage parts of the NBA playoffs, be front and center for a little while was pretty cool. And Thomas Bryant's a good kid, you know, grew up the right way, best we could tell. You know, he's had, you know, a pretty solid NBA career. He's a 6'9" guy who can shoot threes. You're gonna have jobs in the NBA if you can do that for a long, long time. And, you know, to see him be able to be a part of what's been a pretty unique and special run with the Pacers has been awesome. And, you know, it'd be fun to – I really think the Thunder win this series in, like, 5. Mm-hmm. But regardless – it's a great season for Brian, and it'll be cool watching him for the next couple weeks.
Well, you answered my next question. You like the Thunder in 5 in this one. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup Oilers-Panthers rematch?
I think the team coming out of the West was always going to be my team. You know, I think between Winnipeg and Dallas and Vegas and Edmonton, you know, maybe to a little lesser extent, I thought that's where the power was in the league this year. Now, look, you know, Florida's been – this is a 3 straight finals, so there's going to be, you know, these two teams are the rematch. There's going to be no one, you know, being overwhelmed by the moment or anything. But it feels like the Connor McDavid train at some point is going to end up holding a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Oilers have had a couple chances now. They're so deep, so talented, really handled what I thought was a really great Dallas team in the conference final. So that's my lean, but it's hockey, man. I mean, we're going to probably get 2 games. They're going to be 2-2 at 5 minutes to go, and, you know, whoever gets the pinball to bounce their way is going to win those games. So I think of the 2 series, the more interesting and exciting one – I shouldn't say interesting. The more exciting one, I think, will be the NHL series. I think the NBA one is more interesting because the Pacers are, like, defying expectations at every turn. You know, when you've got a team that's winning games, or at least going to overtime – on shots that bounce off the rim, go above the shot clock, and then go in, there's no, you know, I don't know what to say about a team like that.
They played twice this year. The Thunder have won 132, 111, and 120, 114. Before I let you go, Thad, yesterday the Knicks make really big news, like very surprisingly fired Tom Thibodeau. And I'm sure you've probably seen this, and I know Shulman Bulldog talked about this. I got it right away from people on social, which is, oh, see, here's a team. This guy came in, did a great job, kind of turned them around, set a culture, but he can only take them so far. They made a change. Comparing that to Buffalo and the Bills and Sean McDermott still holding his job. Do you think that's fair?
I mean, it's not totally unfair, but it's a lot of a different situation. I mean, yeah, the Knicks have been bad for a while, but, like, first of all, the bar for bad and good is different in the NBA than the NHL. You know, in the NBA, if you're not getting out of the second round, you're almost irrelevant. Like, making the playoffs is nothing in that league. You got to get to a conference final, or that's it. Now, I know the Knicks have been much worse than just losing in the second round, but this is not the same as the Bills going 17 years without making the playoffs in the NFL. I mean, I think cultures can change a lot easier in the NBA and the NFL just because of sheer size of rosters. You know, you got 15 guys on an NBA team, eight that play, three that matter. In the NFL, those numbers are like, you know, you got to multiply them all by five. So to be able to change a culture, I think, is more of a chore. Now, could there come a point with the Bills, and I know some people think we've already reached that you look at Sean McDermott and wonder maybe he's just not going to get over the hump. You know, I mean, Marty Schottenheimer was that guy. I know that comparison comes up. So I don't think it's incredibly or ridiculously wrong to have that conversation about Sean McDermott. But the way things work in the NBA and the way things work in the NFL, it's almost apples to oranges. I mean, Sean McDermott also has had multiple times where he's gotten this team back to a deep spot in the playoffs, divisional round or AFC championship. Whereas Tibbs, this is the first time that the Knicks have gone to an Eastern Conference final. This isn't like a guy who's had seven knocks on the door and hasn't gotten it done. This was the first time they got close and they canned him, which, you know, kind of in the vacuum of that move makes it very curious. With the Bills, while, yeah, you might want to say that Sean McDermott has not gotten it done, he has also gotten his team back to that spot over and over and over, multiple division titles, 10, 11, 13 wins a year. You know, those are all things that fans may not be satisfied with, but are still very much, you know, things to be accomplishments that are worth noting. So, yeah, I get the thought, but the situations are so different for so many different reasons. I can't sit here and say, well, look, the Knicks did it. Why shouldn't the Bills did it? And really, the other part of this that we haven't seen with the Knicks is, and we've had this discussion with the Bills, just because you fire Tibbs doesn't mean the next guy is better. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are probably in a tougher spot there because as good as a coach as Tibbs is, and I think he is, I don't think he's as high on the pecking order as Sean McDermott is. You could probably argue it, but the bottom line is the Knicks are about to find out what happens, you know, or the Knicks are about to find out if the grass is really greener on the other side, whereas the Bills haven't gone there yet, and we won't be able to have that side of the comparison.
And I haven't seen anything. Maybe you have. I haven't looked into it enough. I don't know. Is there more to it with Thibs? Like, was it player-related? Was there something behind the scenes? Is it just he hasn't taken us to where we need to go? I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you.
Well, there was a discussion that Carl Anthony Towns didn't know the defensive rotations, something to that effect, that he wasn't – either he didn't know or wasn't willing to play the defense. So that certainly is a mitigating factor, which would, you know, make it a little more understandable about the Knicks moving on so fast. So and that's another thing. You know, for all the things that Sean McDermott has not done well, you've not heard anything about, like, players not willing or not running the defense right. You know, it's about making the wrong decisions or just not getting the job done, not, you know – gross negligence and or mutiny, I guess, if you want to go there with Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, interesting. Thad, thank you so much, buddy. Look forward to seeing you next week again. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me on as always, man. I'll see you next week. I'll see you Friday, right?
Oh, I'll see you Friday. We're playing golf. That's right. See you Friday, the Bills Media Golf Outing. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. See you.
See you, man.
All right. Thad Brown, WROC-TV Rochester. Check him out. BKL. Buffalo Kickoff Live. And we'll be talking a lot more with Thad, you know, during the season, I'm sure. Okay, real quick, let's take a timeout. We'll come back here. We got the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final. I did that yesterday. You get the point, whichever one you want to call it. We also have some Bills stuff from yesterday lingering I want to get to here after OTAs on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Being able to adjust is something that you have to be able to do. And I thought overall we did a pretty good job of that. And then the last thing I think is just for anybody going through something the first time, it's everything's a first time. So now you've been in those situations and now you're a little bit more scarred per se based on the situations and how fast those things can come up. So those are some of the things that I think I learned. Looking forward to year two.
Bobby Babich, Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator, spoke to the media yesterday. Find all of that on demand at WGR550.com and in the Odyssey app. Who do you like to win both series? NBA and NHL, Evan DePasquale, producer of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today.
Well, it's pretty easy for Stanley Cup. I want Edmonton to win. Okay. Now, I will never want to see a sweep or a five-game series because...
I just want to see good, long drama. I want to see drama.
Good, long series, yeah. Especially because this is supposed to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the NBA, I don't really have anybody. Probably I would root for Indiana because Pascal Siakam, former Toronto Raptor, is playing for the Pacers, and I would like to see him win another title.
Okay. I'm rooting for Indiana for not so a lot of times for me what happens, you get to these points, I'll root more against the team than for a team a lot of times.
Right.
And I think in this case maybe I'm rooting a little bit against Florida, but they already won their cup. I don't hate them or have this ill will towards them. Not a Marchand fan, obviously, just the way, you know, been being in Boston for so long. But I am rooting for the Oilers. I'd love to see McDavid and Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and those guys win it. So I'm rooting for them. In the NBA, like if it's the Celtics, I'm rooting against the Celtics no matter who they're playing. Like that's kind of the way it goes. If it's the Knicks, I might root against them. Although a little bit tempered this year. I didn't mind watching the Knicks.
The Knicks are like a lovable loser kind of
team. Yeah. This year they were a little bit more like that. It was a good vibe. But I root a lot of more against teams. Like Super Bowl, rooting against the Chiefs, right?
Right.
You're not rooting for the Eagles, but you're rooting against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I bring that up is I think this NBA series totally is different for me. I'm not rooting against the Thunder. I really like the Thunder. I like the way they play. I really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, league MVP. But the Pacers, man, this is, you talk about lovable losers. When I was growing up, the Pacers were the team that would get really close and not able to close the deal a lot of times, whether it was against the Knicks or the Bulls or get into the NBA Finals. And they were just right there. And Reggie Miller and Rick Smits. And they just had these teams that they were good. They were fun. It's Indiana basketball. I know Reggie Miller was polarizing. It's a really good state for basketball. It's Indiana. It's Indianapolis. It's not like this huge metropolis that dominates the sports world all the time. You know, that's why I'm rooting for Indiana for a lot of those reasons. But I'd be okay if the Thunder won it. I think I want Indiana because they've been down there. They've been there so many times. They just can't get it done. I want to see them finally do it.
Right. That's how I feel. And as a sports fan, it's like you want to find someone that you want to root for. And I think that's super important. Like you were mentioning with the Oilers, you kind of want to see Connor McDavid win because he is such he's such an amazing player. But I remember seeing a documentary and Wayne Gretzky said, people won't say you're a true superstar until you win the Stanley Cup. And that's honestly, he's obviously a superstar, but I think that he'll be on the level of greats once he finally, you know, wins the cup and gets his name on there.
Are you a FanDuel user?
No.
You're not? Okay.
My mom and my girlfriend would kill me if I was betting on sports.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I will ask you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
I went through this exercise, though. If you are a FanDuel user, FanDuel Sportsbook, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went in and I said, okay, this is why I asked you who you're rooting for. If you put a $100 bet parlay on the Pacers and the Oilers to win, okay? So just saying I want the Pacers to win the series, Oilers to win the series. Put $100 on a parlay. If they both won, you'd win $1,030.
Wow.
That's actually a pretty good bet, I think.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it also has to do with, I think that Indiana is such a big underdog.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Right.
I was stunned at the odds in the NBA, to be honest with you. I did not realize that the Thunder were such a big favorite until I looked at it. The Thunder are a -750. Like you have to bet $750 just to win $100,
right,
for them to win the series. Whereas the Pacers are a +530. You bet $100, you win $530 if they win it.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
The Oilers are actually a little bit of a favorite.
Right. Yeah, the Oilers are
slight favorite.
Yeah. It's almost like it's like you could say it's a pick 'em almost.
Right. It is almost pick 'em. It's in fact, I can tell you right now, in case people are wondering, let me go to that here on the FanDuel app. The Oilers are it's a -126 and it's a +105, which is pretty much an even money type of bet for the Panthers. So you'd be having to sacrifice a little bit if you bet on the Oilers. But if you want to tie them together and make a parlay, $1,300 or a little over $1,000, I should say.
Not bad. And, you know, I honestly think the reason why Edmonton is a slight favorite is probably because they have a home ice advantage.
I agree.
If this goes to game seven, like if we're looking at it from the different perspective compared to last Stanley Cup, game seven was in Florida. Now this time game seven, if necessary, would be in Edmonton. And I would like to see a Canadian team win the cup. You know, it's been like,
too long.
It's been over 30 years.
Never seen it.
No, yeah. I have not. You know, I've seen a lot of them get to a cup, but, you know, obviously never win it. So it'd be nice to see.
I struggle with that. That's the only reason I would push back on the Oilers. I want to see the Oilers win, but if they weren't the Oilers and have the players they have, I don't know if I would want to see, because it's kind of theater, you know, you're not rubbing it into Canada's nose, but it's kind of theater, like, oh my God, every year. Because once they end that drought, it becomes a non-story anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It's a story every year. It's kind of like the Bills missing the playoffs every year. It's more of a story every single year that you go. Oh my God, they haven't made it. Oh my God, they haven't made it. Once they do it, they ended the drought. Now it's kind of over. It's not a story. And you just kind of reflect on it a little bit, right? Hey, remember when Canada didn't win a cup for 32 years, right? That's what people would talk about, basically.
Didn't they say it's like the Marty McSorley curse where, like...
Ooh, is that what they call it?
I don't know. I could be wrong, but the
it was... It was the Canadians beat the Kings that year.
Right, and McSorley was caught with an illegal stick because it was, like, curved too much.
By the way, that's a great... Listen, I was thinking about this the other day, Evan. I never see teams challenge that anymore. I used to see that more back in the day, like challenge a guy's stick. When's the last time you saw a team challenge a guy's stick? Maybe it's happened in the NHL and I don't realize it more, but you basically say, hey, that guy has an illegal curve, and they have to take a ruler out and this measuring thing, and they measure it and say, yes, it is or no, and if it is, it's a penalty. If it's not, it's a penalty on you for delay a game.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen in my time watching hockey, and I go back to really the 05-06, that's kind of where I remember starting to watch hockey.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen someone just call, like, I want a stick measurement because... Also,
you know, I saw it back growing up, I would see it like near the end of a desperation game for a team. They have to win the series. They have to win the game to keep the series going. So like, we need something. Oh, let's measure a guy's sticks. Maybe we can get a power play out of this. Like, that's when I would see it. I haven't seen it in a long time, though. Just hasn't happened. All right. 803-0550. Here's what I want to do. If you are so inclined, call me with your picks. Give me Pacers or Thunder and how many? Oilers or Panthers and how many? Let's see if anybody can get both of them right here. We'll do that. John Harris is going to join me at the top of the hour. He is the Houston Texans sideline reporter, Houston Texans host as well, and very, very in-depth on the NFL draft. We'll get his thoughts on the draft, the Bills, the AFC, the Texans. We'll do that at 11 o'clock with my buddy John Harris from the Houston Texans. 803-0550 is the number to call, and when you do, that's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll take a timeout. I'll come back. Touch on a few things that happened at Bills OTAs yesterday. And of course, like I said, you want to call up, give me a pick for the NBA Finals and NHL Finals. What do you got? Who do you got? And how many games? We'll do that as well here on WGR.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
All right, I put the call out. I got it. Our buddy Rob in Connecticut. What do you got for me, Rob? NBA and NHL. Who's going to win? How many?
Hey, Sal. What's going on? It's always a pleasure to talk to you, catch up with you. As far as the NBA, I feel the Thunder are going to pull it off in five. I would like to see the Indiana Pacers pull it off. And as far as the hockey, come on. I'm French-Canadian. Love to see the Stanley Cup go back to Canada. Oilers in six. And the other reason I do not like it, and I discussed this last year with Shope and the Bulldog, I do not like the Florida Panthers for one reason and one reason only. I do not like the Panthers growl after they score a goal. Like, wow. I do not like it. Can't stand it. So let's go Oilers. And it's McDavid time.
Is that why sometimes I'm listening to Shope and the Bulldog and they open with Bulldog talking about how annoying the growl is? Did you spur that on?
Yeah, that day I called up and I started laughing because Shope was like, please don't do that. That's annoying.
I love it. All right, Rob. Be good. Thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You always do a great job. Thank you very much for having me.
You got it. All right, I got a tweet here. I don't think this is right. Chris tweeted me. You don't see stick curve challenges anymore because they removed the limits for it. No, they didn't. There's no way, right? Is that true?
I don't know if that's
true. You can't have like what they call the banana curve. You can't have that. Right. You can't have a boomerang on the end of your stick.
What I also heard a caller called in during the break. He couldn't stay on, but he said that Lindy Ruff called for a goalie like their pads were too long.
Yeah, those are limits. There are limits.
And I don't know. He said like maybe like 2010. I can't remember. But he did mention there was a Lindy Ruff made a challenge that a goaltender's pads were too long, and he turned out to be right.
Okay, I'm reading this from several different sources. I just typed in NHL stick curve rules, and I'm getting in keeping with NHL rules, blah, 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 cannot go beyond 3/4 of an inch at any point along the blade. There you go. The blade of the stick shall not be more than 3 inches in width at any point. I don't know if this one's a little bit older. There's got to be. You can't. What do you mean? It's impossible. They just remove the limits. Somebody's got to help me out here. No way. That can't be true. So, Chris, I think you're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have not seen a challenge in a while. That is for sure. 803-0550. Matt Bove and I discussed OTAs yesterday. We did a podcast. It's called It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. You should be checking it out. You should be listening, subscribing, downloading. You can check it out on the Odyssey app, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you have your podcasts. You can also watch it on my YouTube channel, at Sal Sports. Really great response coming there. You can comment on there as well. But we went through a lot of what we saw yesterday at OTAs and kind of some standouts, some storylines. It's always tough to get standouts this time of year, but guys who kind of make you go, oh, okay. One of them for me yesterday, I tried to focus a little bit more on the defense, was defensive end Javon Solomon going into his second year. First of all, this guy, like, he's not the biggest dude. He actually has the same, he's the same size, I believe I looked last year, as Jerry Hughes. He's a, and Jerry Hughes was a bit of an undersized pass rusher, but this guy put up numbers, Javon Solomon did. Last year, I said when the Bills drafted him, people said, who's your favorite draft pick? I said, that's the guy that I think, hey, you might get him a couple years, but he's going to be able to get to the quarterback, I think, in his career, because generally, a lot of times, not always, guys who get to the quarterback in college can do it in the NFL. And he put up monster numbers at Troy. And I watched him yesterday. He is an amazing athlete. He really is. And he's got these legs that are like these tree trunks. And then you watch him. I put a video out at Sal Sports on X and also at WGR550.com. I put a video out. You can see him and the rest of the defensive linemen going through a pass rush drill. Like, that's just a guy that I think is sneaky interesting this year. Because I'm not telling you he's going to be an all-pro. He could be anything from, oh my God, this is a really nice find, and look at this guy's ascension in year two. He can go from that to he's not even on the team. And I say that because right now you have Greg Rousseau, Joey Bosa, Landon Jackson, A.J. Epinesa, Michael Hoyt, who suspended six games, and then Javon Solomon might be sixth in the pecking order. And they're not going to keep six both ends and tackles to keep total of 12. It's probably 10, which, you know, Hoyt and Ogunjobi, they get suspended. Now you can get to Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa, Solomon Jackson. And then at defensive tackle, Oliver, Daquan Jones, Dwayne Carter, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker. But as the season goes on, you know, how does that work out? Because I don't think you can keep total of 12. It's going to be really interesting. But he was a guy that I did think of and watch yesterday and thought that was really interesting. All right. We will take another time out here. John Harris is going to join me next from the Houston Texans sideline reporter. All things NFL draft, AFC East, Houston Texans. Bills play the Texans once again this year. It's a Thursday night game down in Houston the week before Thanksgiving in November. But we'll get the latest on the Texans, the AFC, and what he thought about the Buffalo Bills draft after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Just me being a guy that's been in that position, whereas I got here, we had Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, guys like that. So I don't want to mess up when I'm the youngest guy on the field and got guys, so I can understand the position he's in. So the only thing I could do is just give him little nuggets in his ear here and there, because, you know, he already has everybody else in his ear. So I just want to kind of just slow play it and just know that, let him know, like, anything he needs, any questions, like, I'm here to be a resource for sure.
That is Buffalo Bills corner. Can I call him new corner? Like, how do we treat Tre'Davious White here? He's kind of an old corner, new corner, left, came back, you know?
Fan favorite.
Is he old or new, though? Is he veteran, Bills veteran corner Trey White? Is he Bills new corner Trey White?
I'd say veteran.
He left for a year. It's like, you know.
Right.
Then he came back. He is veteran cornerback Trey White, and we know very well a lot about him, so I'm not going to call him new corner.
Yeah.
Re-signed, for sure, to the team, back, and of course the Bills made some moves at cornerback. Tre'Davious White, they used their first round pick on Maxwell Hairston of Kentucky, and of course Dane Jackson comes back to the team as well. You can find all that audio on demand at WGR550.com and in the Odyssey app. Joining me now on the Wester Hotline to talk about some of the Bills draft picks and also what's happening in Houston, a team the Bills will play again, the Texans, in November on a Thursday night, is our buddy John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Texans. And of course, find him at HoustonTexans.com and FootballTakeover.com. What is going on, brother? How are you today?
I'm very well. And when I heard you breaking down those corners, I start thinking, oh boy, you didn't even mention Christian Benford amongst that group, right? And how good that group can be. And it's funny, as you texted me yesterday, Sal, and I was thinking about, you know, what Buffalo did in the draft, and I was like, man, I wonder if Maxwell Hairston has kind of a Kamari Lasser impact on Buffalo. You know, you think about what the role, okay, he might play the nickel, that'll be where he starts, and then all of a sudden, man, he's too good. We got to get him on the field, and that's what happened for us with Kamari Lasser last year. He's drafted in the second round. Everybody panicked about running a 4.6 in the 40, and I was like, this dude's good, y'all. Second week OTAs, he's outside opposite Stingley, and he never gave that position up. And then at the end of the year, you're like, man, this dude's one of our probably 5 to 7 best players and probably the number one player the coaching staff absolutely loves. And, you know, when you guys drafted Maxwell Hairston, I kind of had that same thought of, yeah, they're going to think you're going to play him at the nickel, but he might be too good. He might have to eventually play opposite Benford. But that's where Tre'Davious comes in, having that experience and having been there and still having some juice left becomes key for them, because if Maxwell can play inside and Tre'Davious is outside with Benford outside, that gets to be a very difficult three-corner group to have to try and throw against, especially with a front that can bring some heat as well.
Yeah, last year, Rasul Douglas just did not have quite the year that he had when he first came to Buffalo for those eight games in 2023, and the Bills really kind of had to address outside corners. So here comes Maxwell Harrison, first pick for the Buffalo Bills this year, one of the faster, if not the fastest player at the combine. I can't remember exactly, but what did you think about him when you were going through the draft process and how he would fit into an NFL defense?
You know, it's funny, I was at the Senior Bowl back in January, and I had the opportunity to sit on the scout side, you know, where all the scouts sit, instead of with all the media and agents. I sat with the scouts. And so I was a fan of Harrison's going in, and I had the same reaction. There was a scout next to me, I think it was from Chicago, and he was talking to a couple of his guys, and he's like, hey, man, Harrison can play, but boy, he's small. He's smaller than I thought. And that was kind of my thought, like, he's a little smaller than I thought. But other than that, I didn't really, like, okay, we seemed like Kamari was not as big as I thought he was either. And Kamari, you know, was tremendous for us in 2024. And so when you just flip on Harrison's tape, it's like, man, you can't take your eyes off him. And I remember him from the year before because Kentucky had Andrew Phillips in the secondary. They had a linebacker whose name escapes me at the moment. They had some dudes, and you're like, dude, 11 is pretty damn good. And he discontinued that. I thought the Senior Bowl, he was one of the stickier corners. And I wasn't really paying attention to corner a lot. But I clocked that moment that scout had said, you know, he's a little, and then he looked at the other scout and he said, yeah, but he can play. And I was like, yeah, he's a little smaller, I guess, than you might want. You know, he's not Stingley size. You know, he's not Sertan size. He's not Sauce size. But that's okay. If you can match and cover routes nowadays, it really doesn't matter what your size is. And I think that's where Harrison really, I think, is going to make some inroads right away for the Bills. And again, it's got health. You got to stay healthy. But he's the kind of guy that strikes me as, if he's out there every single day, he gets better and better stacking days. And by the end of the year, he's going to be a force on that defense. So when they drafted him, when it came across the screen, we were out about doing our draft party. And so we're finishing up our draft night on radio that night, and I see the Bills draft Harrison. We were talking about something else. The Texans had just traded down, so we're still kind of in that wash, if you will. And I just popped up and went, hey, y'all, the Bills are drafting Maxwell Harrison. This is going to be one hell of a pick for them. And then we went right back to talking about the Texans.
Of course.
But I was very for Buffalo, very pleased with that pick. I think they can be very happy. And what it does to me is, you'd love for Tre'Davious to be the guy again, as you guys are talking about. You know, is he old Tre'Davious? Is he new Tre'Davious? What it does is it kind of takes the pressure off him to be great if Harrison is everything that we think he's going to be. And it just makes, oh, wow, Tre'Davious really does have something left in the tank. This gives us a lot of options defensively for what we can do with the three corners, the three cover guys we have.
They stayed in the SEC, the Bills did, for first part of their draft at least. T.J. Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina. Landon Jackson, edge from Arkansas. Deion Walker, defensive tackle, go back to Kentucky. Then they go Jordan Hancock, Ohio State. Jackson Hawes, tight end, Georgia Tech. Dorian Strong, Virginia Tech cornerback. Chase Lunt, a offensive lineman from Connecticut. And Caden Prather, a wide receiver from Maryland. I bring up all those names because I want to know from you, John. You study this, you go through the process. Any one stand out to you like, yes, Al, like, I really like that guy and fit for the Bills?
Well, taking everything into consideration, I actually thought day three for the Bills was a home run. I mean, getting Deion Walker on round four was literally and figuratively huge. I mean, that guy is absolutely enormous. Now, he's got to play with lower pad level, and he's got to be a little bit more active in that way. But he's from Detroit. He plays like he's from Detroit, which is a good thing. He can play angry at times, and I think he's got to do a little bit more of that. But I love the Jackson Hawes pick. I mean, obviously we know what tight ends the Bills have, but those are pass-catching tight ends. I don't think, they'll fight, they'll compete in blocking, but that's not what they do. Jackson Hawes, that's what he does. He's like, don't worry about this, I got this. I mean, he is a blocker, but at the Senior Bowl, I was really impressed with Hawes' hands. I was like, man, he's got some soft hands, mm-hmm. and he's an Ivy Leaguer, so you know I'm going to love him. Dorian Strong, I thought, was a very good pick. in round six. I loved Chase Lunt. I was very disappointed that he got all the way to round six and the Texans didn't draft him. They had plenty of opportunities to. He's a Texan. He's from the Metroplex Dallas area. And I thought, man, bring him back home. He was, I thought, solid, can play him at guard maybe down the road, but I thought tackle, he moves really well. And Caden Prather, I thought, was one of the more underrated picks. I thought if you got him in round four or five, you could feel good. But to get him in round seven, I thought that was a complete steal. So I really love, not as if I didn't like TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, but I think everybody's going to talk about rounds two and three. I thought day three for the Bills was a home run. I think of those guys, they may not find, you know, five starters out of that group, but they might find their run blocking tight end in that group. They might find their sixth offensive lineman down the road. You know, the Bills use a lot of the sixth offensive lineman down the road.
Yep.
Now, because they have Hawes, maybe they don't use as much, but Chase Lunt can end up being down the road that sixth offensive lineman. And if something were to happen to Spencer Brown or to Deion Dawkins, you know, down the road, Lunt can be a guy that you tackle on this roster, but maybe he's the sixth offensive lineman. So maybe it's not specific starters, but they fill roles that the Bills needed going forward in 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, that's what we think here, too, with, like, instead of Alec Anderson coming in and reporting eligible, now you have a guy that actually has an eligible number, and you can throw it to him, right? I mean, you can run the same set with a guy who can do that, no doubt. Let's talk about the team that you cover, because there's been some noise, and people are wondering what's going on with C.J. Stroud. What's fact and what's fiction about C.J. Stroud not throwing during OTAs right now?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So. All right.
No one really knows. We went out for OTAs, and it was the first OTA, and you know, I usually get there relatively early, and the guys, as you know, kind of float over whenever. And you know, I thought they were practicing 9:30. It was really 9:45, but it gets to be about 9:40, and I'm like, Mark Vandermeer, the voice of Texans, walks next to me, and I said, "Hey, we're seven." And, oh, okay, there he is. Came floating in like 2 or 3 minutes before 9:45. The quarterbacks are over doing drills, and he's kind of not over there with them. And I thought, okay, well, this is different. No big deal. Get to practice. You know, they start throwing to running backs and such. And I look over, and I'm like, Mark, he's not throwing to running backs. What's going on? And they didn't throw that practice. And then we actually saw all three OTAs that week. He didn't throw in any of those practices. And by Friday, it's a full-on, okay, what's going on? What's happening here? Now, D'Amico didn't speak on Friday. They had assistant coaches speak, as they pretty much do each and every OTAs, last one of the week, assistant coaches. So we had to wait till yesterday for D'Amico to meet with the media. And, of course, he tried to address it up front. And then, of course, one of the media members asked, well, did he have surgery in the offseason? And D'Amico said, look, that's all about CJ. You know, I just said, you know, it's general soreness. He'll be ready. We're moving on. So it seems as if everything's okay. I don't think it's, hey, nothing to see here. But the team really isn't panicking. Now, if you want to say panicking was drafting Graham Mertz in the sixth round, okay, I guess. But I don't get the impression that anybody's really, really worried about it at this point. I think they're like, maybe it might be an issue, but I think we're fine. He'll be a gamer. Whatever he's got going on, we'll fight through. So all the questions of, did he have surgery in the offseason? How bad is it? I think any of those really, at this point, it's really anybody's guess. What we have is D'Amico Ryan saying, he's going to be fine. He'll be ready to go in training camp. And I guess for a lot of people, yeah, okay, that's good enough. All right, we're good. But you've been around this thing, you know, a long time, as have I. We've seen things happen where you're like, whoa, they told me it was okay, but it's really not. And I think for Texans fans, we had an experience last year with our linebacker, Christian Harris. And Christian, right before camp started, I mean, literally days before it started, he got hurt. So he's unable to practice the first couple weeks. We went up to Ohio, played in the game in Canton, came back. He practiced on a Sunday for the first time. After 30 minutes, he went out of practice and really was kind of out of sight, out of mind until about 3 or 4 weeks into the year. And everybody's like, hey, wait a second, where's Christian Harris? And the team, we were very vague, you know, didn't say a whole lot. Weren't sure. And we didn't get him back until week 14. And so I think there's a kind of some of that going on. Hey, what if it's a Christian Harris situation? I'm like, hey, I don't know. So we don't really know. And I think that's what makes it kind of interesting, intriguing, and really not a lot of fun, because we really just don't have the right answers at this point. So hopefully things are going to go okay. But I think the league saw last year how much he got beat up, and got beat up pretty badly. So how much of that is a hangover from the 2024 season? Then how much of it is, you know, it's literally just giving his arm and shoulder just some rest and taking some throws off his arm, because we're hoping for him to be healthy and he's got a lot of throws to make during the season. So we'll see, but I can't sit here and say, oh, I'm not worried about this thing at all. Because if we don't have CJ Stroud, you know, we won't win the AFC South if we don't have CJ Stroud. And that's a ticket into the dance. Because CJ, everything changes, obviously. So, you know, I can't say that I have zero panic. I'm not, like, completely worried that we should go trade for Kirk Cousins today. But I do think it is definitely something worth watching. And until he throws, and there's been talk that it might be next week in minicamp, but until he throws, I think there will be this just a little bit of worry. It's like that little kind of, you know, little noise you hear in your ear. It doesn't bother you at the time, but you know it's there. But if that gets louder and louder, like, oh, man, it's going to start really angering some people and frustrating some people. But we'll see. So if you see the Texans trade for Kirk Cousins, maybe that gives us all the answers.
What is the latest on Tank Dell after that gruesome injury we saw last year?
I would love to say that Tank is ready to go in 2025. I think my gut tells me that 2026 is the right thing to do. Now, Tank is, I mean, this kid's, I mean, his family background, what he came from, what he basically got through just to get to the NFL has been incredible. And then he obviously gets hurt at the end of 2023. We missed him in the playoffs. He gets shot during the summer, but he's back for training camp. He then has this gruesome injury. So I'm never going to count Tank out. But I think with all that he had happen to that knee, my guess is that he will more than likely miss 2025 and move on to 2026. But that just gives him an additional year to come on back for 2026, ready to go as much as he's going to be. And when he does come back, hopefully at that point, we'll have a couple of younger receivers in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, with Christian Kirk and Nico Collins. Now you throw a healthy Tank into that, and you're like, okay, that's the receiving core that C.J. Stroud deserves and this city wants. So, but we might have to wait a year for that. He had his ACL surgery, I think it was in March, mid to late March, I believe, because they had surgery to fix the other things first. And he got hurt in December. So they had to fix everything else first, rehab that, then he did the ACL surgery. I actually saw him in the training room working on one of those zero gravity things. And it was awesome to see him run, but I just don't know that we're going to see him play in 2025. But if he has to stay all of 2025 and he's fully healthy for 2026, at this point, I'll take it.
Speaking of receivers, I am fascinated to get your take on Stephon Diggs. And now that he's past Houston, what he was like there last year, and your thoughts on what transpired over the last, you know, week or so with him in New England and in the boat and all that.
When he was in Houston, our people in Houston loved him. Loved him. They saw the leadership skills. They saw the mentorship skills that we needed. And if you look at how things went for us, just record-wise, we were 5-2, we beat the Colts. That made us, I think, 6-2 at that point. I think that was what we were, 6-2, I think. Then and Steph gets hurt in that game against the Colts. We win that game. Anthony Richardson begs out, and now they got a whole situation. It was a wild afternoon. But then we lose Diggs. We lost all quick game. We lost all explosiveness at our receiver position, and the offense lost any semblance of leadership, really, that – Steph brought to it. We were up in Minnesota in week 3. We got it handed to us. It was at halftime, I talked to D'Amico Ryans. But in Minnesota, there's this long walk to the locker room. And so I walked all the way in, and I can hear this kind of noise kind of behind me. And I realized, oh, that's Steph. And Steph is just giving it to a couple offensive linemen. I mean, giving it to them. And it was much deserved. And I remember thinking, hell yeah, Steph, give it to him. We're playing like garbage. Give it to him. We missed him. And when you talk to people in this building, they'll tell you, like, he was great. Now, after he got injured, he obviously went off and rehabbed somewhere else. But he came back a couple times throughout the year. He was warmly received. And now, again, it was a contract year. So I always think about that in a contract year. How do guys act? How do guys play? How do they respond? Ooh, I'm going to be on my up and up. And I think about a couple of guys and a few guys that have done that over the years. Like, I don't know what we're going to see the first 2-3 years. That hasn't been great. What are we going to see in year 4? Well, you're going to see a stud year because it's a contract year. And I think for Steph, he knew, hey, I can't go to Houston act a fool. But I also feel like Steph came in and he saw what was here. He saw what was building and he thought, okay, this is a pretty good opportunity for me. Now, all of a sudden, he signs in New England. I don't know if Steph looks at it and says, this isn't really where I want to be. I don't know what's going on here in New England. I don't know if I feel Vrabel as the head coach. I'm not totally sure about all this. I don't know. But I do know here in Houston, the 1 year he spent, or 8-9 months he was here, he was very highly thought of for how much of a mentor he was. I mentioned Kamari Lasser early. He and Kamari used to talk after every practice. In training camp, you'd see him spend like 4 or 5 minutes just working on, you know, kind of releases and things in the line of scrimmage and really helping out a defensive player. So from that perspective, he was really thought of very highly in Houston. And I know things in Buffalo at times weren't always great. I'm curious this whole thing in New England, how it's going to go. I think somebody made a very prescient point here. Like, you come to Houston, you've already got Tank Dell and you've got Nico Collins. Steph can look at it and go, hey, those guys are good. They deserve the ball. He goes to New England, there's nobody there you look at it and go, they should get the ball over Stephon Diggs on almost every pass route. So they throw the ball somebody or somewhere else. Steph's not going to be happy about that, right? I mean, you guys know that more than anything else. If he looks at it and he perceives lesser thans getting more opportunities than him and they're losing, it's going to be hell to pay in New England. But here in Houston, he can look at it and say, well, Nico and Tank deserve theirs. They're good. I'm going to get mine too, but they deserve theirs. And he was just as happy for them when they had success as they were for him when he had success.
Interesting stuff. John Harris from the Houston Texans. All right, buddy, Bills and Texans, Thursday night. I that was a bit of a surprise, right? I mean, like, I thought it could be a primetime game. I thought last year would be. It wasn't. A Thursday nighter in Houston, which, by the way, we are looking forward to it here because at that time of year, getting away and going to Houston, Texas for, you know, a couple of days for a Thursday night game, not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not. And that's actually probably the best time to be in Houston. You do not want to be here. I mean, we play inside, so that helps. But I can't remember what the temperature was when you guys flew in last year. Was it week 5? I mean, it's still 95 degrees and 100% humidity, and it's just, you know, awful. And then you guys have to play outside in Miami too, and sometimes in September. So it doesn't make it great whether it's night or day. But that time of year will be really nice. I was hoping that being Thursday night, that Bills Mafia would decide, yeah, we're not going anywhere on Wednesday. And I was like, no, I know Bills Mafia.
It doesn't matter.
Here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I think the team looks forward to that one. Again, you know, I think the talk here in Houston is, okay, great. You can win the AFC South. You can beat the Titans, the Colts, and the Jags, and that's fantastic and all that. But you need to beat these good teams consistently. And obviously we beat Buffalo last year. We caught Buffalo at a good time. It was a good time for us because we were still relatively healthy. Didn't have Joe Mixon in that game, but we were relatively healthy. Did lose Nico in that game, and so that hurt. And so when you compound that with Steph a few weeks later, we were back to square one throwing the ball. But we got to beat these teams. We've got to beat the Bills. We got to beat the Ravens. We got to beat the Chiefs. I mean, we've never beaten the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. We've beaten the Chiefs once back in 2019. We've got to prove that if we want to be amongst this elite group of teams, that we can consistently beat the good teams, and we certainly can't lose to good teams at home. And of those three I mentioned of the AFC champs last year, we beat the Bills at home. And luckily we get the Bills at home, but we got to go to Baltimore and Kansas City. So it'll be definitely a prove-it game for the Texans again. And that late in the season, obviously we'll see where teams are, but my hope is that both teams are playing well, and it ends up being a big boffo night for Amazon to have that game on Thursday night. I think it could be a great one. Night games in Houston are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And my guess is if the weather is nice, which it could be, they'll open the roof And it's pretty cool. Now, they don't open the roof often. They did last year on Sunday night against the Bears, and it got a little steamy inside, I'll say that. But that was week two. This is later in the year, so it should be okay. But it's a beautiful sight. It's a really cool vibe for a night game. And obviously, Bills Mafia adding to that will make it pretty cool as well. So I'm looking forward to it, having you back down here for tacos and barbecue and some good football.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Hey, listen, your daughter would be very proud of me. I think you saw on social, I got a speaking role in the Hallmark movie centered around the Buffalo Bills that they filmed here in Buffalo that you're just wrapping up this week, by the way. Last year, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. It was Travis Kelce was in it. Obviously, they have a lot of Bills people. Sean McDermott's in it. But I actually got a speaking role, and I had dialogue with the lead actor, Matt D'Addario.
Listen, I was very excited for you. I was very excited. And I broke this news to my wife, who might be Hallmark's number one fan.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I caught 15 minutes of hell. Well, why aren't the Texans doing that? You could have that role, too. Sounds great, but you could have that role.
Yeah, you see?
I caught hell for 15 minutes for that.
I hope you explained that Hallmark decided, you know, who to have here, not the team, right?
I know. It's just, you know, my daughter being in the acting world and my wife kind of being her momager and all that kind of stuff. It was funny. She was laughing at the end of it, but you know, she said to tell you congratulations and
you got it.
Very, very happy for you, my man. My daughter will actually be director Ryan Murphy has his third season of Monster.
Yeah.
I don't know when it'll be released, but the last episode of that series, directed by Henry Winkler's son, my daughter is featured in that last episode. So I'm interested to see how that goes. She had a great time doing it. So we'll have something to look forward to. I think it's probably more 2026, might be fall 25. We'll see. But I was very proud of her for that. But you having lines the lead actor on that is
listen,
cool. I'm very proud of you,
and I'm proud of your daughter. I mean, I know. I remember years ago you were telling me about the grind. I mean, it's like an athlete, right? There's so many twists and turns that you have to really kind of pick yourself up a lot. And for her to be in this position, that says so much about her, John. It's amazing, and I know where she got it from. It's mom, not dad, but I know where she got it from. But no, seriously, that is amazing. That is amazing that she's risen to this level after, you know, having to go through all that.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, acting, it's wild. I know everybody sees the people that make millions and millions of dollars, but even those guys, like my buddy Sean Pendergast, had a speaking engagement with Sean Astin, who was Rudy. And he went and picked him up, and he said one of the things that they were talking about is the fact that you go months at a time and you don't work. Sometimes you go years without work. You're just looking for something, anything, to kind of keep your acting chops sharp. Because it's not like you can just, like basketball, you can just go pick a ball in the park,
right?
You know, it's like, where do you go act? And so my daughter's found some other things to do. She's met a lot of people there. It's kind of nice. Her neighbor, who bought a house from Stevie Nicks, is one of her best friends. She's like 70. Her next door neighbor is like 92. They all hang out, have tea in the afternoon. It's kind of funny. So she's really adapted to the LA lifestyle, which is kind of nice, but
love it.
She waits and waits for that one opportunity. So we'll see what happens from this, but I'm proud of you, buddy. That's going to be really, really cool. My wife did make me watch the Chiefs one last year. I had to vomit at the end of it.
Yes, I know,
taking
right?
a shower. Is very disappointed with that. I'll probably have to do the same here, but what I see on the screen will be very, very cool, man. Congratulations.
You got it. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I know you're a busy guy, and we'll look forward to talking again down the road, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Astros.
I hate that. Oh, man. Oh, I knew he was going to throw that in there. I don't hate him. I hate that he did that, though. Sneaky guy. John Harris. He's always great to talk to. I got to get to a break here. I'm sorry. And I know Tom in Wheatfield is on. He wants to talk about, you know, what we were talking about with the stick earlier. So, Tom, I'll get to you. I have to tell this quick story, though, how I met John Harris. We weren't just like, yes, he's a sideline reporter for the Texans. What happened was, do you remember the EJ Manuel pick six game with TJ Watt runs it back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In that game, it was my first year on the sidelines for the Bills on the radio network. It's 2014. And we're in Houston. In a lot of these stadiums, the connection, because of where the antennas might not be as good as other stadiums or whatever the interference might be in the area because it's all wireless, just like any wireless situation. So because this particular stadium, NRG, is so big and cavernous, where the Bills' visiting radio booth was it is really far away kind of from where the Bills sideline is on the other side versus like you go to Highmark, everything kind of a little lower, right, for the radio booths. So everything's closer. So we couldn't get a good signal. And Greg Harvey and Todd Brody, our engineers, said, I think you might have to go to the Texan sideline to do your reports. And I'm like, oh, come on. I get, if you're like, well, that's the only way we can do this to get a good signal without it dropping. So like, all right, I'll stand on the Bills sideline, but when I talk, I'll kind of walk over to their sideline so I'm closer to you guys. So I did that, and I had to go do a report, and I go over there. And I'm standing, I'm trying to be like at the 5-yard line, you know, go, I don't want to go too far over there. And I look, and this guy in a Texans uniform, Texans pullover, with a microphone is looking at me like, who the hell is this dude with a Bill, the Bills guy on the sideline? And I looked and I just pointed up at the antenna and he just smiled and he goes, I know, because he must have seen it before. And I'm like, I did my report. I go, hey, my name's Sal. I'm here for this. He goes, I'm John. How are you? And we struck up a great friendship and he's become a great friend since. So that's how that all happened. So
see, this is why you need to write your own book.
I know.
You need to create a book.
Yes, I agree. It is actually on the bucket list. I'm not kidding you. It is something I really want to do is write a book about my experiences on NFL sidelines and little anecdotes and stories like that and meeting people and the relationships and things that have happened along the way as far as games are concerned. Tom and Wheatfield, stay where you are. When we come back, we'll get to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Well, it's never been about the production and the results to me, and that's something that we embody with it. It's when it's a run play, what does the backside receiver look like? When I'm running a route that I might not be the primary, but I'm opening it up for the other receiver, what does my body language look like? And so I believe all of that leads to points. But I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that the result is the big picture, and it's not. I think good things, and when everybody eats, it's a mindset of just doing your job, and the results will take care of itself.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. He spoke yesterday, and of course, all that audio is available for you on demand at WGR550.com. And in the Odyssey app, Tom in Wheatfield has been waiting patiently to chime in on our discussion from earlier about curved sticks and challenges. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, sir. Great show, Sal. And what a great guest you just had. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Good insight on Steph. I just hope he does well and doesn't do Antonio Brown implode there. He was good here. He was great here. So I'll leave it at that. But anyways, I outage you a little bit, Sal. I'm 61, but back in 73, Sabres were playing the Canadiens in the playoffs, and the Sabres coach at the time, Joe Crozier, called for a measurement of Ken Dryden's goalie pads. They were wider than the 10-inch legal limit, and we got a two-minute power play out of it. And it was a big deal. I don't know if we scored in a power play or not. We lost the series, but it was a fantastic series. It was the beginning of our run in the cup. And I just wanted to call that out. And his brother Dave Dryden's on the bench. He didn't know to be happy or sad or whatever, you know. But I decided to share that with you, Sal.
I'm reading it now. So I'm reading this. I'm reading it here. This is actually, it says it was 73 that this happened. And as you said, thank you. Yeah,
Crozier was our coach.
Yep. It says, oh my God. Yeah, the pads were too wide, greater than 10 inches, 2 minute minor. You got it. Yeah, I mean, you got the whole story right. That's amazing. That's great. I did not know that. I may have heard that story in passing at some point. I do remember, like I said, I remember the Sabres years ago. They called for a challenge of someone's blade because, like, they were down. It was a series. They had to risk trying to do it just to get back in it.
Yeah. I just don't remember what it was, but I remember they brought out like some molded thing to measure the blade, and we got the power play out of it. I forget. I think it was a goalie stick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. And yeah, you're right. John Harris is a great guest, and I appreciate that. Thanks, Tom.
You got it, Sal.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff. Some weird rules, right? That it's fun. So my mom and my stepdad, they attend my son's Little League games, and it's great having them. And they're really kind of into it, and they're watching just like most grandparents are. And because now we're playing on the bigger diamond, right? We play in a 70-50, they call it, or 50-70. You know what I mean, right? You move up to the bigger diamond, 11, 12-year-olds, so it's 50 feet to the to the mound. It's 70 feet to the bases.
Mm-hmm.
And when you move up to that diamond, there are definitely more new rules that are introduced into the game. Now you can lead off. It could never lead off before. So in the old diamond, it's like you got to stay on the base till the ball gets to the pitcher, then you can run. Now it's you can lead off, but then you can also throw back. But with that comes box. Yeah. Now, they are very good about not calling box and just saying, hey, this is what you did wrong and helping the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the biggest one is drop third strike now.
Ooh,
We now play on the diamond with drop third strike. And it happens every game. You see drop third strikes and it's like, run! You know what I mean? Ah, you got to go. You struck out, but go. And my mom is always like, oh my God, there's so many rules. Like there were never these many rules. I'm like, I know, right? It's the bigger diamond, Mom. Like, there's so many rules. And I try to kind of give them a little bit more to her in pieces because she's like, I'm so confused on some of the rules. Why did he go to first base? Why can't that kid go to third base? Something like that. You know? And it's
right.
So, and this is it. Sometimes in sports you get this, which is, wait a minute. I didn't know that was a rule. What are you talking about? This happened today. I talking about this stick thing and someone tweeted me and said, well, they have no limits anymore. That's not true. They still have limits. They might have changed the limits, but someone did say it's different because of the way sticks are made these days that you don't get as much of that.
And also, I think the game is just so much faster now that kind of a more curved stick is going to really help you. When you were mentioning the new rules, I always remember when I was in Little League, like you went up, you had 1A, then 2A, 3A, then et cetera. And when you were in 1A, you weren't allowed to steal bases because you were kind of playing on the smaller diamond. And then 2A, you were allowed to steal only go from first to second and second to third. You couldn't steal home.
Correct.
And then 3A, you were allowed to obviously steal home. And that Yeah. When I hear people talking about their kids playing baseball, I'm like, man, I wish I still played baseball. And hopefully whenever I have kids, you know, they'll want to play
baseball. I feel bad for the umpires sometimes because it's like there are a lot of – and of course, obviously we can go into the discussion about people, the way they treat umpires. But, I mean, a lot of these things too. And, again, you have umpires who are really trying to help the kids. Like, hey, that's a balk. Hold on. Mm-hmm. And then you have sometimes you go to these tournaments or you have even in house games where – a coach might get upset or a parent, well, that's a balk. Dude, we're trying to help kids understand the game, what they're doing right or wrong, you know, be teachers out there, right? So, but yeah, I mean, that happens too when it comes to rules, and we're going through that right now when it comes to baseball. All right, so I have a wrap-up at WGR550.com on yesterday's OTA session for the Buffalo Bills. There was a play yesterday, and I don't know if you saw this. I had tweeted out a play, and then later, if you're looking for the tweet, I had deleted it, and I'll explain why. I was standing on the sideline watching the offense go from my right to left. And there was a throw down the sidelines from my angle. I'm looking down the sidelines from my angle. It looked like Keon Coleman had Max Harrison beat pretty cleanly, and he dropped the ball. And I'm like, oh, man, but he beat him, but he dropped it. So I walked up to another media member, and I said, what happened there? And this person said, yeah, he dropped it. I'm like, okay, that's what I wrote. Then my buddy Matt Perino from Syracuse.com, after I wrote it, texted me and goes, hey, I didn't see him drop it. I was standing right there. Harrison got a hand on it.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't see that part. And maybe I was blocked out from my angle. He said it was kind of right in front of me, Matt said. So I deleted the tweet because I didn't want to, you don't want to give the wrong information. But from my angle, and then someone confirmed that they saw the same thing. But it's very possible from where we were standing, we just didn't see Harrison get his hand on it, and it looked like Keon Coleman had dropped it. So what happened yesterday, when I tweeted it out, there's a lot of people going, oh, my God, I hope Harrison, you know, he shouldn't get beat like that, or, man, Keon's going to make the catch. And that's all fair, but apparently that wasn't exactly what happened, which was Harrison maybe got a hand on it, but it looked from my angle like it just kind of went through and Coleman had dropped it. You know what I mean?
Applaud to Harrison for being able to catch up and get that.
Yeah, for sure. I thought, and the way Matt described it, it was more right in front of him. He said that he thought Harrison had actually good coverage on him. I thought Coleman was a step on him. But again, angles can matter here when you're watching things like that. Now, that said, that's why I deleted the tweet. Wanted everybody to know in case that happened. You saw it. Whereas the tweet about Harrison getting beat, he might not have gotten beat. Maybe. I still think maybe from my angle, Coleman had a bit of a step on him. But if he's going to get his hand on the ball, obviously that's good enough coverage to be in that position. I would say, though, that there were a couple other interesting moments for the rookie. One was Tyrell Shavers going kind of across the middle. I thought Harrison had great coverage on him, but Shavers went up, and he's taller, and he made a fantastic catch. And to me, it was almost like a welcome to the NFL type moment for Max Harrison. I don't think anybody in college was making that catch with that kind of coverage on him. And here's Shavers, an NFL receiver who's got the body and height to go over top to get him, even in sticky coverage like that. And he got beat. And, you know, it was, to me, a moment where you're like, okay, I don't know necessarily specifically what he needs to do different there. That's with him and his coaches. But it's certainly probably one of those plays where he felt he was in a great position and, oh my gosh, like, what do I need to do here? And then later, I did see and saw one of the safeties kind of telling Harrison, hey, move here, move there, kind of moving around a little bit here. You know, and that could kind of get you a like, you know, the lining up and learning the defense. Something that Bobby Babbage said yesterday about Dorian Strong, but also goes with Max Harrison, is they don't just have to learn the Bills defense. They have to unlearn their college defense. Because you think you've done something your whole life. It's like, well, that's what my coach and No. It's not what we do here, though. Right? Like, there's so many new principles. So when you have a new role, a new job, yeah, a lot of times it could be just a promotion from a company, so you kind of know the culture and how they work and how they do things. When you're going from a college defense to an NFL defense or offense, it's not just learning new terminology. It's literally kind of rewiring your brain to forget the old terminology and what you're supposed to do. It's hard to do, Evan. It's really it. It really is for a lot of these guys. People don't understand that, you know? And they go through, you know, you don't even know what team you're on until it's May. And you're wondering, you're going through all the, you're probably looking at different defenses and teams going through the interview process. That's why the second year is so much, I think, better for a lot of these guys. They know where they are. They've been in the system for a year, but it's not just that. It's the offseason that matters. And you kind of know where you're going to live, what the defense is, who your coaches are. And it matters a lot to that. But anyway, that's what happened yesterday. I wanted to throw that out there in case anybody saw that particular tweet, and then it disappeared a little bit later. That's what happened in that situation. WGR550.com is where you can find my latest wrap-up to OTAs for the Bills, which continue tomorrow, but no media on hand. And then next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, mandatory minicamp. We'll come back after one final timeout here and wrap up your Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Yeah, I was pretty surprised by the Knicks firing Thibodeau, but again, I haven't dug deep into, has there been anything said about like why exactly they did this? Has anybody reported anything? I haven't been dialed in on that.
I heard that they relieved him of his duties. In my opinion, I think it was playoff failure. And
is there anything though personally, like is there something with Jalen Brunson? There was something about, there was a question he was asked about, they have the right coach, he walked off. Some people said that meant like he was like, I can't believe you'd ask me that. Or some people thought that he just didn't want to talk about Thibodeau. There was something,
I think,
there.
That might be what actually transpired, is that he didn't want to talk about it. You know, when you're asked like, oh, do you think your head coach might get fired? Obviously, you're not going to say anything.
Right. No, I guess not. But it was interesting, right? So the Knicks, they fired Tom Thibodeau. That happened yesterday, and it sparked an interesting discussion. Chopin the Bulldog talked about it with the timeline of coaches and getting to a certain spot, and some people have equated it to Sean McDermott. I talked to Thad Brown about it earlier today, and appreciate Thad joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and I agree with Thad. It's not quite a fair comparison. It's, you know, two different sports, two different reasons, but it was interesting yesterday with that discussion. We'll come back tomorrow. I'll actually be doing this show tomorrow from our Rochester Odyssey Studios. I got some business in Rochester tomorrow, so I'm heading out there. So, Roch, I'm coming your way tomorrow. But I'll be right back here at 10 a.m. on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for being with me today. Talk to you tomorrow. Sabres Live up next, followed by One Bills Live and Chopin the Bulldog at 3 p.m.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.